I've got to stop this being so emotional. We're going to have a crying church one of these days. The Lord is very good, church. Very good to us. So, let me just take a sip of water. For those of you who weren't here on Friday last week, and you see this pulpit, and we will not worship it. It is pretty, it's nice looking. It's functional, it'll do the job. Why I wanted a see-through pulpit, in fact, is I wanted something like that, because it's less of a separation. You can see all of me now. So for those of us that sit and scratch or whatever, we can't do that anymore. We've got to stand. I'm just joking. This pulpit was donated by Monet, who passed away in February last year. His aunt from overseas wanted to do something because they recognized the fact that this church embraced and loved Monet. And he was a young man that went through many difficulties, but in this church he found love and acceptance. And they recognized that, and they wanted to give something in memory of him. So what we've done is they spoke to me, and I thought, a new pulpit would always be nice. That's maybe what I wanted. So it was bought from donated finance, but it's donated in memory of Monet. So in his aunt's absence, Cheryl and Kirsty are going to go overseas later this year in June, July. They're going to go and visit, and we will send our thanks. But that's why we have a new pulpit. But as much as it's a pulpit and it's new and it's pretty, it's not an item to be worshipped, because only God gets worshipped in this house. Amen. So while we're grateful, we understand it's just a thing. It's a functional thing that the Lord has blessed us with, and we're thankful to the Lord for it. Right. On Tuesday this week, in this pamphlet, we read about the fact that the Holy Spirit, and I'm looking at the wrong page, and I don't have my glasses on, so this is real trouble. I'll just take it out of my notes. The Holy Spirit in John chapter 3, verse 5-8, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot," and it's a big S, that means Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We sang many songs this morning about the fire, about the Holy Spirit, but we also sang about drawing closer to the Lord. I'm desperate for you. I long for you. I want to be in your presence. And it was encouraging for me, because I know that the Lord's going to speak to us. It carries on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." He was speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus couldn't understand, if I've been born from my mother's womb once, how can I come out the second time? And Jesus was saying, it's actually not that complex, and don't try and understand it. You know, the wind comes and you don't know where it's coming from, but you can feel it blowing. It's the same way with my Spirit. You might not fully understand how it works, but it works, and he's here, and he's going to bring about that change. And he said, you're born of the flesh, then you're born of the Spirit. And it was interesting because it said, you are born, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. And I'll speak about that just now. The second verse we had on Tuesday was this. Out of the Amplified, it says, "He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy." Didn't you mention the word mercy this morning, Gail? Amen. Maybe you can figure one for pity. Right. "By his own pity and mercy, the cleansing bath, right, of the new birth," and in brackets it says regeneration, that's a big word, but it's regenesis. It comes from the generation, generate comes from, if you switch on a generator, we used the church's generator last Friday to warm up the urn so we could have something warm there and to play music. You generate something, it creates electricity with a generator. So God, when he spoke, Genesis happened. He generated everything into being. But this speaks about regeneration. So something that exists is made to re-exist. Does that make sense? But How can I be made to? No, my spirit is dead because of the initial sin, the original sin. So my spirit needs new life. It's regenerated. It's regenerated. So it says the cleansing bath, but what's linked to the new birth? A bath. Okay? You need to be cleansed of the new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we regenerated, our spirit comes alive, but then we also are renewed. Did you notice? Bath, regenerate, renewed. Three separate things. Cleansing, a new start, and then renewed. We need to be in a constant state of being renewed. So you can't be born again and say, that's it, I'm done, I'm clear, I don't have to go to church again. I can do. No, you need to constantly be renewed. Right. But the word of Jesus, unless one is born of the water, jumped out to me. And I was thinking about this, born of the water. And you know, I'd never thought about it before. I'd read it 100 times. To me, it was logical. If you're born of the water, when a natural birth happens, a lady's water breaks. So where was the baby? In water. So we're born of the water. So that's the way I understood it. But I went and started to research it. And I found a controversy, because there are Bible scholars that interpret it as being born of the water, but in two different ways as well. And I thought, my word, Lord, you're not the God of confusion. So I went and studied it. And that's where today's word is going to come from. When we're born again, we become a new person. A new man, if you want to say. But because there's men and women here, we become a new person. There's one common result of being born of the water, no matter what way you interpret it. So let's quickly go and have a look. Let's explore the controversy. I've explained already, it could mean the natural birth. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can you go back into mother's womb? You wouldn't fit, let alone anything else. And I think your mother's going to give you a clap. All right, if you try. Okay, so taken literally, it could mean being born of the flesh and born of the spirit. The second birth is the rebirth experience. Secondly, it could mean water baptism. And just by the way, we've still got water here, and we just need to top it up. There's some people in this church that need to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized yet, you need to be baptized. Sprinkling as an infant doesn't do it. You go to the scriptures, you need to know what you're doing. It's got to be a result of a choice that you made. A baby can't make a choice. We can dedicate a baby. Okay? But we baptize people who can make choices. Right? So it could refer to water baptism. Some denominations believe you're not even saved until you've been baptized. As a denomination, we don't believe that. That's why you need to go through membership classes so you can understand what we believe. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? If you go to Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's all you got to do. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him. It's all you need to do. No works. No works. You don't have to go and be baptized. All you got to do is those two things, right? No reference to baptism there. Salvation is by grace and not through works. The risk with saying I'm saved because I've been baptized is because there's not necessarily been a change of heart, and then it's a deed of the flesh. Are you with me? Because I chose to walk into the waters of baptism. It's things that men do. It's a symbolic act, right? It's an act of symbolism. So don't think that being baptized saved you. And if you did think so, and you still think so, then you need to come and speak to me. All right? So our denomination, the Pentecostal Holiness Church, doesn't believe in the fact that you are saved as a result of being baptized. We are saved because of our confession of faith and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hey, can I hear an amen? You're still. Do you believe something different? Don't put up here. All right. The challenge, like I say, is salvation by grace and not through works. If I say I'm saved because I was baptized, it's because of something I went and had done. All right. I'm saved because I asked Jesus. It is something you do. The But you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. It's not a work. And he does the rest. And the third thing is, it could refer to the Holy Spirit's cleansing work at the time of being born again. The Holy Spirit's cleansing work, unless you're born of the water, what does water refer to? Being washed. That second scripture I read out of Titus, let me just go back there. Titus 3 verse 5, he saved us not because of works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. All linked together in one word, in one sentence. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. So that one can definitely hold water. I can understand. Excuse me, but I've got a bit of a sinus problem this morning, aside from having cried. For that. Right. So no matter how you interpret this, whether it's born of the water of the womb, or whether it's water baptism, or whether it's the Holy Spirit's cleaning work, and it explains this. I read a commentary that it's a mouthful, Jamieson Fawcett Brown Bible commentary. It describes it beautifully. It says, of water and of the Spirit, a twofold explanation of the new birth. So startling to Nicodemus, to a Jewish ecclesiastic, he was a Jewish student of the word, so familiar with the symbolical application of water in every variety and way and form of expression, this language was fitted to show that the thing intended was no other than a thorough spiritual purification by the operation of the Holy Spirit. So Nicodemus was used to the use of water in different purification ceremonies in the Jewish form of worship. Okay, think of the priests. They were constantly having to wash their hands, and the laver was in the outside of the outer court of the temple, and they would wash themselves. They'd have to go into the Lord's presence clean. So water can always refer to washing, but it also refers to the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water. Okay, so there's three different applications, and you can go and study it, and it's been a matter of debate. But the one thing that each and every one of them speaks about is there's got to be a change. A new person has got to happen. Whether I'm born a second time, something changed. I go from a carnal form of living and my spirit comes alive. Something changes in me. If I go through water baptism, it signifies change in my life. Because what I'm saying is I'm dead in Christ. I'm buried with Christ. I'm leaving my old works behind, and it's as though I'm rising out of the grave into a new life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? That's a simplified explanation of what water baptism means. Something has changed. If I go through the waters of baptism, I'm saying in front of God and in front of witnesses, I have accepted that something has changed in my life. Something has changed. And if you take it as representing the Holy Spirit's cleansing work in your life, once again, if I, let's say I'm a mechanic, and I go and I work on a motor, I come in, my hands are filthy, filthy dirty. My clothes are dirty. What I need to do is go and have a shower. Sometimes you need to wash your hands with something that's very strong to take all the grease and the dirt off. But when you see me and I'm done and I'm in my clean clothes, I've changed. I'm no longer the dirty person that I used to be. So whatever way you interpret it, something has to change. So I don't have to get into doctrinal debate, right? All I need to realize is that when I get born again, something needs to change. I become a new person. I become a new person. Can I see you today by a show of hands? Who's a new person? All right, the rest of you I need to pray for. Aunt Betsy, why didn't you lift your hand? I'm just picking on her. All right. Something must change. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is Spirit, now it refers again to the Holy Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, listen here, as we are changed into His glorious image. The Lord by His Holy Spirit is the one who brings us from glory to glory. Once we look and we see dimly as in a mirror, but now we see as though we're looking at a person face to face. And who does that work in us? The Holy Spirit. We are in 50 days of the Holy Spirit. Church, if your life has not changed, if you're still reflecting the life as it was before you got born again, then you need to understand something needs to change. Something's out of place. Something's wrong. I'll just jump ahead in my message. I've got an illustration of, let's say you've got an old car. Who's got an old car here? Let me see. Who thinks their old car might need a new engine? Let's say that old car starts giving, I see that end. There's some old car sitting here that needs a new engine, a new spirit this morning. Okay? But let's say you send it to the mechanic and you say, please take this piece of junk, the old engine, not the old car, and chuck it on the rubbish dump and put in a new mud. I'm sick and tired of breaking down every time I get in this car. And you get it back from the mechanic and you pay the money and you get in the car and you drive down the road and the thing breaks and you get out and you kick the tire and you say, you're still a piece of junk. Because the mechanics just cleaned the motor and made it look new, but nothing's changed. You've paid your money and you still got your old motor. We cannot get born again and be the same as what we were before we got born. Something needs to change. Are you with me? Amen. So my very first challenge to you this morning is this. Have you experienced salvation? Have you given your heart to Jesus? And if you have, can people who know you and are around you all the time, when the pastor's not around, and when the people from the church aren't around, and when you're not in a home cell, and when you're in your workplace, can those people see that something has changed? Because if not, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And you need to deal with it and get it fixed. Because it's not God's plan for you to get born again and be regenerated. Because something that is new doesn't look like something that is old. Amen? If you've got two coins in your purse or your wallet, and one's an old coin, and one's a brand new coin, you can see a difference. The one is old and dull and dirty, and the other one shines. You say, oh, I actually wish I don't have to spend that. I just want to collect it. It looks beautiful. Are you with me? Things change when we get born again. We become a new person. Are you the new person that the born again experience calls for you to be, church? And I'm speaking to people here that have been born again for years. But there's many people here that have given their hearts to Jesus recently. And the same applies to each and every one of us. Where you've been serving the Lord for 50 years or for 5 days. Something needs to change. Now that scripture I just read says we go from glory to glory. So we grow, right? So if I've been serving the Lord for 50 years, I should be a lot more changed than somebody who's been changed for 5 days. But the one thing that's exactly the same is when my spirit got renewed. I'm born again. That's the first change, and it should never be different. So are you the new person that the born-again experience has called you to be? Something should have changed. Now you might say to me, yes, I've been born again, and I know something needs to change, but I can't. I keep on trying. Paul wrote about it in Romans 7. The things I want to do, they're the things I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, they're the things I do. Are you battling with that change? Got the answer for you this morning. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I've already read scripture. We cannot live our lives and invite Jesus Christ into our lives and exclude the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes we do that. Not even purposefully, church. As you go and read these scriptures in the 50 days, you will realize how little you've been taking notice of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to be reminded of these things, church. But it's the Holy Spirit that transforms us, that brings about the change. The blood of Jesus covers. The blood of Jesus reconciles us to the Father. The blood of Jesus allows us to come to that place where we can be cleansed. But once we accept it, He places His Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit comes with holy soap. Okay, I'm using poetic license here. It comes with holy soap and washes us from the inside out. Something needs to change. Can I hear another amen? God is represented in you and me. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The triune God, we've accepted the triune God into our lives. but the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and dwells in us. And in Romans 8, verse 11 to 13, we see the Holy Spirit raises up us up from spiritual death. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Isn't that what Gail said earlier on? It's the eye. It's the eye that will keep us out of heaven. We are not debtors to the flesh. Say that. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. One, two, three. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I'm a debtor to the Spirit. Amen. It's Him who makes us new. It's Him who renews us. It's Him who regenerates us, who makes us the new person that God purposed and planned for us to be. We can be different. So if you're battling, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do that renewing work in your life. You can make that your prayer. You can say, Holy Spirit, I'm battling. Come to me today. Help me to be the person you want me to be. Come on, church, are we doing that? Amen. Ella's by us still. You should be saying, yes, hallelujah. Amen, I've got the Holy Spirit. That's better. Thank you, Jerry. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Titus 3 verse 5, which already saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of His own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. How do I go from glory to glory? Because every day, the mercy is new, and the Holy Spirit comes. If I say, come Holy Spirit, shoo, and He renews me. But today, He renews me, and some of what was still there yesterday is no longer there today. So I am going from glory to glory to glory. It's a continual walk. That is why you need to carry on serving the Lord. That is why, church, if you start drifting away from attending church, drifting away from your quiet time, drifting away from trusting the Lord, starting to trust in the flesh and your money, and you're going to go backwards. You need to go forwards daily. You need to invite the Holy Spirit in every single day and say, Lord, do your renewing and your cleansing work in my life. I know the blood has covered my sin. I know I'm forgiven, but come and cleanse me. The dirt that I got on me yesterday, maybe I saw something I shouldn't have seen. Maybe I heard something I shouldn't have heard. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. Maybe something's taken hold. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let Him convict you. He doesn't bring condemnation. The devil brings condemnation. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnations for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to speak about the renewing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit breathes new life into us. And He cleanses us. He washes us. Ezekiel 36 verse 25 to 29 speaks about it. He says then, I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean. Who wants to be clean today? I want to be clean. Right? Sometimes that dust and that dirt comes. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. Who's sick and tired of filthiness? Church, sometimes it happens. Sometimes we get a bit of dirt on us. And we do and we say the wrong thing. You've got the Holy Spirit to help you to get back on track. And I hear an amen. And from all your idols, the things in our lives that become more important than God. I will give you, Conrad, you prayed it this morning. That's when I knew I had the right sermon. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and cleanse you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. How will I be delivered from all my uncleanness? By the cleansing presence and power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Say this with me, it's the Spirit. Say it again, it's the Spirit. Say this, He cleanses me. He cleanses me. My filthiness is gone. But you need to allow the Holy Spirit to wash you on a daily basis. On a daily basis. There's a story of, I might get it a little bit wrong. Haven't you heard when they were walking in the Old Testament times They'd walk into a house, and if you had a good host, what would he do? Wash your feet. Why didn't they wash the whole body? The whole body was washed. That's when you get born again. Your whole body's been cleaned. You're a new person. But every time you go out in the dust and the dirt, it comes and it collects on you. You need to get rid of it. The world will leave its sinful dust and dirt and desires and influence and ways on you. You need to come, let the Holy Spirit point it out to you. There's another scripture that speaks, be washed by the washing of the Word. You need to spend time in the Word. And the Holy Spirit in you will convict you as you read the Word, because it'll say, that's not right in your life. And you'll come under the washing and the cleansing of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will do the cleansing work in you. Does that make sense? It's a bit complex, isn't it? But it's not that complex. Just say, the Holy Spirit is God's cleanser. Okay? Our sins are covered by the blood, but the Holy Spirit will come and will clean us. There's a couple of things that scripture I read that the Holy Spirit will do for us. And I made it personal. The Holy Spirit's power makes me new. He washes me and He cleanses me. I initially thought, isn't that crazy? Doesn't the blood of Jesus cleanse me? But the ongoing cleansing is the Holy Spirit. He takes that stony heart out and He gives me a new heart that is open to the Lord. And you know what? The sin and the dust and the dirt of the world we live in creates a crusty heart. You need to constantly be renewed. He renews us in our spirit man. Because the spirit man is capable of going to sleep. You need to be renewed daily so that your spirit can be alive and on fire so that you can interact with God. He helps us and causes us to walk in obedience to God's word. He is the one that delivers us from all of our uncleanness. When you need deliverance, let's say proper deliverance from demon possession, whose power is it? Do you think it's our power? Never. It's the Holy Spirit who comes and says, amen. Then we live as God's people, totally renewed and totally changed. God does all the work because man cannot receive glory and man cannot say, I'm saved because of my works. God says, I won't have it that way. That's what makes Christianity different. In the other religions, you need to work. Some cults or wrong teaching say if you want to be a good Christian, you've got to do works. It's a deception and a lie. The devil wants to distract you. You are saved by grace and that alone. Amen? You're saved because God does it. And in the same way, you stay clean because God gave you His Holy Spirit to remain clean. It's not your own goodness. It's His goodness in you. That's called holiness. We live in holiness. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit in us. And He will lead us in holy and righteous ways. Who wants to be holy, church? None of us are holy. The Bible says in Isaiah, your holiness is as filthy rags. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. The only way we can be holy and righteous is by the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Have you surrendered and allowed His Holy Spirit to come and work in you? Have you allowed Him to do His renewing work in your life on a daily basis? Have you even taken the Holy Spirit seriously? Have you focused just on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Go and read these scriptures. You'll see how important the Holy Spirit is to us. Is all we're interested in about the Holy Spirit His power and His gifts? Sometimes, especially in a charismatic and a Pentecostal church, that's exactly what we're interested in. Holy Spirit, we want your power. We want your gifts. We want the miracles. We want the signs. We want the wonders. But please don't convict me of my sin. Amen? You can't just be interested in the Holy Spirit because none of that stuff will come unless you're allowing Him to do His cleaning work in your life. Amen. Now you guys are starting to see where I'm coming from. And then finally, the Holy Spirit is the one has become a new man. What happens when a baby is born, church? When a baby is born, everybody gathers around and says, ooh, ah. Oh. Amen. Grandparents must come and look, and the family, oh, it's so cute. I can say she or he is so cute. I love holding babies. They're just the cutest things out. As long as they're not screaming or they have a nappy. They're beautiful. Everybody loves a baby. If you have a family gathering, what's the center of attention? If there's a baby there, you two are grandparents, you know. Yeah? If a little one's there, you don't even need to be a grandparent. If there's a little one there, even if you've got a puppy, it's the center of attention. So what happens when somebody gets born, a baby gets born? Becomes the center of attention, okay? But what happens to that baby? Becomes part of a family. It becomes part, it's got a mother and a father, and if it's not the first one, it's got siblings and uncles and aunties. And that family, if it's a good family, and let's just generalize and say most families are good families. Most parents are good parents. What do? They love that child. They will do anything to protect that child. They will put it in place, they will take that child and nurture it. They'll teach it. They'll teach it to speak. They'll teach it to behave in a certain manner. They will protect it. Don't mess with my children. Tell you, oh, you'll find the other side of me that you haven't seen yet. Amen? And you know what I've realized? I must be aging a bit because I'm starting to see my children stand up for me in the same way. Dad, are you okay? Are you sure you can do that? Come, we'll do it for you, Dad. You know what? It's a blessing. For me, that's a blessing. But it's part of being a family. Now, let me show you what happens with you when you get born again. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. What does that imply? You're part of His family. Family. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. So we're adopted children, but I'm happy with that. I'd rather be an adopted child of God than a fleshly child of a human being that doesn't love me or is not able to save me. Does that make sense? It's illogical, okay? But you received the spirit of adoption by capital S again. In other words, the Holy Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children, family. Abba means daddy. If my girls call me daddy, it just melts my heart. If Josh calls me dad, okay, it's just different because he's a boy, right? I love to hear my children saying, daddy. It does something for me. It says they know who I am. Amen. And they know I love them. And it says they're my child. I love it. And when we cry out to Father God, Abba, Daddy, Father, Lord, I need you. We do it by the unction and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The flesh can never cry out, Daddy, Father, because we need first the spirit of adoption. It's the Holy Spirit who allows us to be grafted into the vine. Does that make sense? Am I preaching too hard for you guys? No? The Holy Spirit allows us to be adopted. He signs the adoption papers. He's the social worker. And He says, don't worry, I will enable it. Amen? We're adopted as children into God's family. And then it goes on to say, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children then heirs, what is the fact that I'm an heir mean? It means there's an inheritance. Amen. I inherit something. Heirs of God and joint heirs with our brother, Christ. Because He was the firstborn among many. Ooh, Yelis Noviestel. How can you call Christ your brother? But it's in the Bible. And if we are children and heirs of God, heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with, oh, my word, here's a condition. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. We become part of the family. The Holy Spirit's work in our life when we become a new person is to say, guess what? You're part of the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've been adopted. You've been grafted in. And not only that, you can call out your Father in heaven and treat Him as your heavenly Father. Yes, we need to treat Him with respect and revere Him. He is still God Almighty, but He's also my Abba, my Dad. Lord, I can bring all my problems to You. I'm sure I've told you this story 100 times, but I'll tell you one more time. When I was a young man, probably 27, 28, I was retrenched for the first time. I first went and prayed, and then I went to my parents' house. I don't know what else to do. We were actually going out for lunch. I don't know how they could still take us out for lunch as a company. It was tough. And I went to my dad and I said, I just wanted to tell him, Dad, this is my problem. He said, don't worry, you'll be fine. And I was fine. Okay? Because my dad in heaven opened a new door for me, a better door for me. But just being able to go to my dad, my physical dad, was a blessing. I remember the one scripture I'll never forget. And I shared it with you this morning, Dave. In this world you will live trouble. He told me that. But have peace because I've overcome the world. Don't worry about it. Be encouraged. Be enheartened. Be lifted up. I've overcome the world. And what does that mean? It says, if I have, I will enable you to. So you might be facing stuff this morning. Just remember, you're part of God's family. You've got a dad who's going to look after you no matter what. You've got a brother who's going to stand. When the enemy comes, he says, okay, you want? Do you want me to sort you out again? I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Because he defeated him on the cross. He made an absolute spectacle of him. And Jesus is standing. Don't mess with my brother. Don't mess with my... Father is looking down and saying, hey, I know it sounds crazy, but that's exactly how it works. You've got the Spirit in you. He rises up in you and says, don't be afraid, you're a child of God. I will testify with you. Can you sense my presence? I'm asking, can you sense Holy Spirit's presence in you? If you can sense His presence in you, that's a testimony to the fact that you're a child of God and that you're grafted in. You're part of His family. Is there any doubt in your mind this morning that you are the new person? That the new birth experience gives you the right to be? Are you sometimes questioning that you're part of God's family? You say, oh, but I don't feel like it. The Holy Spirit is God's seal. It's His stamp of approval in your life. That's why He's so important to you. When you're feeling down, the enemy comes with doubts. Am I really saved? Am I really going to go to heaven? Holy Spirit, please just, I sense Your presence. Have you ever gone into a quiet time and you just sense the Lord's presence? You need to. You need to develop that. He's there with you. That's what I'm trying to preach this morning. The Holy Spirit empowers the new man to be clean, to be renewed, and to feel part of the family. And when I'm part of a family, I know that if my wheels fall off, there's always somebody who's got my case. I'm never going to be totally alone. So that's the final thing I want to leave with you this morning. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you're part of the family. You are never alone. He says, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I have to go. But wait, because the promise will come. The promise is the Holy Spirit. He testifies with you. You're never alone. Somebody's got your back. It's the Holy Spirit. He's in you this morning. So, I just want to wrap up and say this. Jesus said a few things. He said, we cannot see the kingdom, that first scripture I read, we can't see the kingdom of God unless we're born again. You can't see it unless you're born again. Then he went on to say, you cannot enter it. Isn't it amazing that he chose two different words? You cannot see it unless we're born again. You can't enter it unless we've been born of the water and of the Spirit. The Spirit's presence in our life is our assurance that we will enter God's kingdom. Something needs to change in your life. Something needs to change in your life. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring out the change. So once I've been born again, I need to change. I can't change myself. But the Holy Spirit will do the renewing work in me. And then as He does it, I will grow in glory, to glory, to glory, in my relationship with God. And I will feel part of His family. I can call on my Abba. Stirred up in my spirit. By the Holy Spirit in me. Who feels like they belong this morning? Church, I want to encourage you and tell you, you belong. If you invited Jesus into your life, you belong. You belong to God's family. Father, God is on your side. He loves you. Jesus is at His right hand, interceding for you. He's given you the victory. He's standing up against the enemy. And the Holy Spirit is in you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You don't have to do it on your own. He will do the cleansing work in you. Just yield to Him today. Yield to Him today. Yield to Him today. Let Him have His way in your life. Amen? And that's all I've got to say. So you may stand with me this morning. I want to ask you two questions. Three questions. Maybe four. Just, I hope I'm not leaving because I preached too long. They're just going to get the coffee and tea ready. Church, let's get serious for a moment with the Lord. Just close your eyes. There's a couple of scenarios here this morning. Some people here this morning are not the new man. The Holy Spirit has been on your case, but you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You need to become born again. Unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. That's God's word. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Unless you're born again. So if you need to give your heart to Jesus this morning, and that's you, just put up your hand. People who need to say, I want to be born again. Okay. Okay, you can take your hands down. I see those hands. Then there are people here this morning. They've gone through the born again experience, but nothing has changed. You're still the person you used to be, which means that you haven't yielded to the leading and guiding and direction of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you didn't make a proper decision at the time. Maybe you felt under pressure, or you did it for just the wrong reasons. And you need to make sure it's done right so that the change can come. Is there somebody like that here this morning? Can you put up your hand? I see hands going up here. Is there anybody else? Just put up your hand. Amen. Right, you can take those hands down. Then there's people here this morning, and you just have questions. The enemy keeps on coming, and he keeps on tempting you, and he keeps on saying, you're not getting it right, you're not getting it right, you're not getting it right, and doubt has crept in. And you don't feel like you're part of God's family, because you feel like my sins, and there was a prophetic word already this morning. You feel like my sins keep me from being able to open the window. Remember that word? You need to realize you're part of the family. Who is that here this morning? Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand up. Lots of hands going. Lift it up high. Say, Lord, I want you to see. He's not blind, but he can see it. Okay. So now you can take your hands down. We're going to deal with those situations. And then you just need to remember, church, as you go out, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. If we pray this prayer today, there's not one person that needs to go out of this church this morning without the Holy Spirit in them. So you've got the ability to overcome and to grow from glory to glory and to become the man or the woman of God God has called you to be. So let's close our eyes and pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you paid the price for my sins on the cross. And I declare this morning that I need you, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, and that I will be born again according to your word. I thank you that I will see heaven, and I will enter heaven because of grace. And now I pray for the enduring power and the help of your Holy Spirit to come into me and do that cleansing work and renew me and regenerate me and bring life into my spirit so that I can be victorious, not just today, but every single day of my life. And I thank you. If I ask you for it, I will receive it. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. And I'm part of your family. I will never feel alone again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, that was not the easiest sermon to preach, I can tell you. But I trust that the Holy Spirit has done His work, and in your heart, change has come. Remember, you need to be a changed person. You can't be like that car that's kept on breaking down, and the engine's just been washed, but it's never changed. Amen. You need to be different. Say it with me, different. Say, I'm different from today on. Amen.